That was exactly what I needed right now today. I needed an experience in worship and in the presence of God. I think that's what our country needs, and that's what our world needs today. I do want to mention a few prayer needs. First of all, our most faithful man, one of the most faithful, Furman Calcutt, is in the hospital this morning. Every Sunday, like clockwork, he and Miss Judy are seated right here. They're early and they stay late. They're pillars in our church. And this past Friday, Furman had an automobile accident and was taken by ambulance to the hospital. Now, he's going to be okay. Pastor Steve and I both have spoken with him. He's sounding good already, ready to get back to the golf course. But they still have him. They're doing a battery of tests. And so our faith is strong concerning his perfect healing for Furman Calcutt. Let me mention just a few names otherwise that need prayer. Members of our church family, Tammy Timmons and her great family need prayer. Two of Tammy's sisters, Faye and Cynthia, are both in the hospital, and Faye is on a ventilator and needs prayer. We have walked with the Timmons family up mountains and down through valleys for many years. Our prayers are with them. One of our members who watches faithfully every week and stays connected to us, Miss Keisha Lewis, is in the hospital this morning and needs our prayer. I should also mention just by name, they are not in the hospital, but this week is critical for them. Doctor's appointments, procedures, and whatever, but our prayers continue to be with Glenn Weaver and his wife Judith and their family, Jack and Jenna. This week is critical for him. He's getting good news from his doctor, and we believe it will keep getting better. Also, Billy Driggers, our prayers are with him, and Sue, some critical doctor's appointments this week. And also, I was just made aware this morning that one of our dear sweet sisters that we've known for two decades, Miss Eileen Osborne, is in need of prayer. So our prayers are with Eileen and with Willie, her husband, today. I want to commend all of you for praying one for another these days more than we ever have as a church family. Thank you for that. At this time, wave, greet, blow a kiss, but not too hard, to some of your neighbors. We're dismissing our teenagers now to the youth center. Follow Coach Perkins, Miss Jade, to the youth center. And thank you, praise and worship team. Holy in this place today. Let me mention by way of announcements quickly. Mylon Lefevre was scheduled to be with us next Sunday. We've had him scheduled for 2 years, but he is rescheduling that for a Sunday next year. So I wanted you to be aware of that. Mylon and Christy will not be with us next Sunday. We'll let you know when a new date is announced in 2021. Also, I want to say that this Wednesday is a special holiday on our calendar. It's Veterans Day, and I would like to take at least just a second here to thank all of the veterans who are in our church. Many are watching by live stream. If you're here live in the auditorium and you are a veteran, you have ever served or still continue to serve in any of the armed services for our country, stand, please. We owe so much to you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you for helping us keep faith and freedom in our nation. I want to mention that in less than 2 weeks, a citywide prayer service will be held here at Abundant Life. This happens every month. Brother Jolly heads that up over the city. And we are opening our church this month for an hour of prayer for our city. And so that's on a Thursday night, November 19th at 7 p.m. So plan to be here and support our church hosting a citywide prayer event that night. And then only one other announcement, and that is Thanksgiving Communion. This is what we do at Abundant Life. Every year on the Tuesday night before Thanksgiving, we have a Holy Communion service. We give God thanks for our seat at the table. There is so much to be thankful for. Now it'd be a good place to hear an amen. Amen. And we're going on with this service. It's one of our best services of the year. Normally it's a unity service and we invite three other churches to participate. Pack the place out on a Tuesday night for Thanksgiving Communion. But because of the times, it will just be Abundant Life people that evening. So we have room for you, and we hope you'll make your plans to be with us. Now, just before we open the Word, and don't we need a word from God this morning? We want to celebrate one of the most special couples in the world, and certainly to us here at Abundant Life. A very great married couple celebrating another year of living together and enjoying life together. And we want to mark this occasion for Pastor Steve and Miss Lori. Would you come, please? Don't you love this couple and thank God for all they do? Miss Lori.
I know.
Okay. Now, we do this all the time. Yeah.
I'm immune.
Pastor Steve and I, yeah, I am too. I'm immune. So, but we've been quarantined since day one together all the time. So, but we want you to know we couldn't tell you with words how much we appreciate you. I know more than anybody what a blessing both of you are. More than all of us know, but I know more than because we can't do without you. And how many years have you put up with him?
33, I had to ask.
33 years? Honey, we're going to give you a card straight to heaven. You don't even have to pass anywhere, just straight into heaven. No, that's not true. But we do thank God for you and congratulate you on another year of wedded bliss. You show us all how to live life with a lot of gusto. We want to be like you. We want to be young like you. And so on behalf of our elders and all of our church family, congratulations and happy 33rd anniversary. I'm giving that to you because I know you deserve it more. Oh, help us, Lord. It's been quite a week. I want to speak to you this morning for a few minutes, and it will be just a few, about the cross and the flag. Pastors all over the nation this morning are struggling with what to say to a people who are divided on a national level. And I have spent much time in prayer before standing here this morning. And the only thing I can say is I have decided it is impossible for me to please man. And so I'm not even going to try. My prayer before the Lord this morning as I stand in this special place is to please God and only God. I do want to say before we talk about the week of an election that we as a local church offer our congratulations to our own Darren Yarborough. He was a candidate for sheriff of Florence County. And as you know, the vote came in and he was just a little short. I think it was 52% to 48%. But Darren Yarborough is here with us this morning. And my brother, on behalf of our church, we want to let you know how proud we are of you. You ran a great campaign. You ran a campaign of integrity and honor. And you never threw mud at your opponent. In fact, I know you stayed in touch with him and have been in touch and congratulated him and offered to serve him. And we're proud of you. And as I told you the day after the election, this election did not weaken you. It strengthened you. And it gave you a voice louder than you've ever had before. And God will show you what to do next. And we are proud that you're our brother. This has been a week of turmoil politically. The election has brought about a lot of chaos in our country. And I think every pastor today has a responsibility of some kind to speak to the political landscape in our nation and what we're to do moving forward. Now, they may not all say the same thing I say, but all of us need to hear a word from God. And I'm aware right now, no matter what I say, I can't please everybody. That's why I'm with the right spirit to the best of my ability. I'm only attempting to please one person, and that's God today. I realize before I even begin, there will be some here who will say, he said too much. There will be others here who said he didn't say enough. But I only want to please the Lord this morning. And I want to say that Joe Biden won the election for president, and he will become our 46th president on January the 20th. Of 2021. This is not fake news. Nobody stole the election, and the election was not rigged. This is democracy. Now, we in the church need to face the reality that although we are citizens of our nation and we honor the flag, there is a higher dimension that requires greater loyalty and allegiance even to a political party that's a reflection of the flag, and that is we are citizens of the kingdom of God. I'm talking about the cross and the flag. We live in America, and it's a great nation, I think the greatest. But we are not a theocracy. If we were a theocracy, all of us would agree on everything, and it would all be what God thinks and says. Now, wouldn't that be heaven? In fact, that will be heaven. The will of God never challenged, but always performed perfectly to his will. But we live in a democracy to where every person has a vote and a voice. I've always realized how special our church is. Because from day one, we've always had multi-races here. We've always had every socioeconomic representation here. We've always had blacks and whites and Indians and Asians and Latinos, Hispanics, Germans. We have been an international melting pot here at our church, and we've always had Republicans and Democrats. And it has been a privilege to grow together with all of you through everything in 34 years and still wave the banner of the cross higher than our partisan politics. That's something to be grateful for. Theocracy is God governing man. Democracy, which is what we are, is man governing man. Such limitations, just think about it. Man governing man. Democracy for this nation has always been called the Great American Experiment. The world has watched us for 244 years. We began as a fledgling democracy, a new idea to where instead of a king or a dictator or chaos and turmoil and lawlessness, we as a democracy elect our leaders and they make laws that govern us as a nation. It's the Great American Experiment. It's still an experiment. I remember several weeks ago talking about the political mood in a country and how it changes every so often. And I remember referring to the pendulum that swings. You can look back at the history of our nation and see that the mood of the nation, the majority of the people in a nation, will want to go in a certain direction, and so they vote that way. Whether it's Democrat or Republican, the majority speaks in a democracy. And so the pendulum will swing one way, and it will stay there for a while, sometimes 4 years, sometimes 8 years, and rarely 12 years will the same party stay in office. But then the pendulum begins to swing, and it seems like all of a sudden more people in our nation would prefer a different direction. And so it goes from Republican, and the pendulum swings to the Democrats, and then after so long, it just keeps swinging. That's the American experiment we know as democracy. And in this election this past week, the pendulum swung again. While 4 years ago, people were wanting this, and then now 4 years later, the majority of the people in our nation want a different direction. Now, whether you are a Trump supporter or a Biden supporter, all of us agree with one thing. Joe Biden is the polar opposite of Donald Trump. And can I hear an amen from Democrats and Republicans on that? The pendulum swings. Listen to the truth. In our democracy, we are not automatically ruled by the will of God, but we are ruled by the will of man. Now, we could all be ruled by the will of God if all of us heard the same thing and shared the same thoughts and ideas. But we're a democracy, and all of us have only one vote each. Now, I'm an American, and that is a natural and a temporal thing. But I am a citizen of another kingdom, and that is a spiritual and an eternal thing. So for those who are bruised and wounded and bitter and angry because of the results of an election, let's remain grounded in the truth that elections come and go. Men go into office and leave office, but we are more loyal to another kingdom than even a natural nation. Paul said, "Here we have no continuing city, but we seek a city which is to come." Now, as citizens of America, we live by the Constitution. But as citizens of the kingdom of God, we live by the Bible. The Constitution is a great document, but it was written by man. I'm not anti-Constitution. I thank God for the Constitution, but it was written by man, and it was flawed. And it has been changed 27 times since it was written. By contrast, we in the kingdom of God live by this book. It was written not by man, but written by God. And it never has and never will change. His word is forever settled. I'm not being politically correct this morning. And I'm not being unpatriotic when I say this. Believers all across America, let's remember to always keep the cross before the flag. Let's place greater emphasis on spiritual matters than we do on political activity. Now, I'm for being engaged in the process. I appreciate political activism. Certainly, we should pray and we should vote. But our highest loyalty is in a different kingdom, and nothing that happened this week has shaken that kingdom. I want to read a couple of verses from the book of Isaiah. These verses usually are read only at Christmas time. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace." And listen to this. "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." I'm telling you, that was true before November 3rd. It's true after November 3rd. And this is the government that we are most passionate about, the one that rests on his shoulders. Now, I'm going to open up a little bit. Be real with you. I am pro-democracy. I'm not against it. And I'm more conservative than I am liberal. I've always seen myself as a Republican, even though I have not always voted a straight party ticket. Now, there are celebrities every 4 years, movie stars, that say, if so-and-so is elected president, I am moving from America. And I actually did that one time. Can I just share my heart and be raw and real? The election was 1992. And President George H.W. Bush was running for re-election. And his opponent was Democrat Bill Clinton. Well, I, of course, voted for George H.W. Bush because things were being said. If Clinton ever gets in office, you'll have to give up your guns. Clinton was a different kind of man than George H.W. Bush. So I cast my vote for George H.W. Bush. I wanted him to be reelected. But when Clinton won the election, I was shocked. It took me a while to absorb the fact that there are more people in America that would rather have Bill Clinton than the great military hero, President George H.W. Bush. I was amazed that I was outnumbered. Bill Clinton was set to take the oath of office and become president on January the 19th, 1993. And it was that very day that Brenda and I and our family moved to the former Soviet Union. And we timed it just so that when he took the oath of office at 12 noon, we were 10 minutes out over the ocean before he raised his right hand. Now, we didn't move for political reasons. It just worked. We moved to be missionaries for a year in Latvia, but the timing, I looked at it, I said, oh, that's the day we need to get out of here. So I remember leaving JFK, headed to Stockholm or wherever the next stop was, at noon. We were 10 minutes in the air, and I looked over to Brenda, who was sitting beside me on the plane, and I said, we got out of there just in time. And we thought, if we stay a year in Latvia, I doubt there will be a nation we can come back to. Can I just be real? But America survived 8 years of Bill Clinton, and Brother Bill is all right with me now. I like him all right. I admit he had to grow on me, but I'm all right with Brother Bill these days. Now, if I can be real, and I don't want anybody to get upset with me, I like to be liked. But let me further be real. 12 years ago, when Barack Obama ran for president, I did not vote for him. I voted for John McCain. And let me tell you my limited mindset, okay? I mean, it's what it was 12 years ago. It was John McCain who had suffered for 5.5 years as a prisoner of war in Vietnam, where they broke his bones and would not set them to heal. And because he was the son of a high-ranking American military officer, when they found out who he was that they had captured, they said, "We're going to work it out for you to be released." And John McCain said, "I'm not leaving just because of who my father is. I'm not leaving until all my comrades leave together with me." And he, till the day he died, carried in his body wounds. He was disabled and handicapped. He walked the rest of his life with a limp, and he couldn't even raise his arms very high at all because of the torture that the Vietnamese had inflicted upon him. And so, being a Republican, I didn't even need to pray much. I'm voting for John McCain. And here was my thought. Why would anybody in America not vote for John McCain, the military hero that proved how patriotic and how much he loved our nation? Why would they not vote for, why would anybody in America opt to vote for Barack Obama, a man whose middle name is Hussein? I mean, that was my limited, can I admit ignorance? Can I just throw it out there and say, you know, that was the little way I thought? And we heard the same thing. Barack Obama going to show up at your house and take your guns. And we heard even worse. If he passes health care reform, then there will be death squads to decide who's going to live and who's going to die. We survived 8 years with Barack Obama. We still have our guns. We've never faced a death squad. Conspiracy theories are nothing new. They're used by both parties to instill fear and to manipulate to get your vote. Both parties are good at that. I started to start a trending hashtag over politics. But I decided, no, I'm not going to be over it. I'm not going to be over it. We are Americans. Now, we survived 8 years of Barack Obama. And we will survive a Joe Biden presidency. Now, even though the prophets have prophesied, God told me Donald Trump would be reelected. He was not. I know that upset some of us slash you slash them slash us. Now, he has a legal right and he plans to challenge the results in court. But if I were advising him, I would appeal for him not to do that. Because what's best for the nation is what should be on everybody's mind. And Joe Biden just didn't win by a narrow margin. There are 5 million more people who voted. Now, do I understand all the elections? Sometimes I'm amazed. I cannot believe more people in this nation would rather have him than my man. But Joe Biden has won a legal election. Now, are there any discrepancies? There may be. And in fact, I'm all for a recount, and whether you know this or not, in the state of Georgia, where the margin of victory is less than 0.5%, the law requires, whether a candidate asks for it or not, the law requires a recount. So I'm all right with a recount. But we as the church need to hear from God about what we're to do as we move on. Now, even though the prophets have prophesied, I've seen them, I've heard them. Sounded good to me, felt all right. But Donald Trump was not reelected for 4 more years. Joe Biden will be our next president. It's democracy, the thing we claim we love about America. That's the way it is, and the pendulum swings. Now, why did the prophets prophesy that and it not come to pass? There are many reasons. One is the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. The Bible says that. So it could be that a prophet, even a prophet, can prophesy the word of the Lord, but it may be coming more from his own human spirit than the Holy Spirit. Prophets are human. The Bible even says we only know a little bit and we can only prophesy a little bit. That's my translation. King James said we know in part and we prophesy in part. And another thing that could have happened, if you're asking the questions, how can the prophets prophesy one thing and the opposite come to pass? Even when a prophet prophesies a true word from God, it does not automatically come to pass, even if it's a true prophetic word. That's when warfare begins. Do a good warfare according to the prophecy that have been spoken over you, Paul told Timothy. And then also, we need to ask ourselves this question. Could it be that President Trump has accomplished everything God assigned for him to do? It's time to ask that question if we're spiritual people facing reality. And if that's the case, let's give the man credit. Donald Trump, even after just 4 years, has left his mark on this nation. He's appointed hundreds of conservative judges. And fact check me. I only want to talk about the facts. But I think he's probably the only president in history that has had the opportunity to appoint 3 Supreme Court justices. And he kept his word on that. He appointed conservative judges. And I'm all right with that because at my core, I'm a Republican. And even though I don't understand the political ramifications and the fallout from it, I was totally delighted when President Trump named Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. I don't understand, but I love the feeling of that because Tel Aviv is not in the Bible, but Jerusalem is. I'm simple sometimes. I mean, just simple. And he is pro-life, and so am I. I liked that about his agenda. However, I have other thoughts about that. Some, especially evangelicals, vote for a man based on that one single issue. I think there are more issues, none more important than that. I think our nation will be judged for the murder of 60 million innocent babies who could not defend themselves at all. So I'm happy with President Trump's position against abortion and pro-life, but let me also say a couple of things about that. Ronald Reagan was a great president. He served 8 years And I saw him 8 times. Every year, I would attend the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Washington, D.C. And every year, whoever the sitting president is would come and speak to that convention. So I saw Ronald Reagan. I didn't get close enough to smell what cologne he was wearing, but and he was a hero to me. And one year at the National Religious Broadcasting Convention, the big news, and there was President Reagan right there, the big news was he had written a book while sitting president about abortion. And the title of the book was Abortion and the Conscience of a Nation. And all of us thought, oh man, we've got the right man now. I mean, a sitting president who will write a book about the horrors of abortion and the punishment for a nation who will allow that. But 8 years under Ronald Reagan, and that law never changed. So let's smell the coffee. If we're riding the coattails of any one political leader thinking that it's a slam dunk, we're in the wrong battlefield. And then let me further say about abortion. Even changing the laws will not stop the sin of abortion, because it is at its core not a legal issue. It's a spiritual matter of the heart. Now, I'm deeply concerned about evangelicals in this nation today. I'm concerned that we've lost our perspective, and the evangelicals have put more trust in a man than in God. I absolutely understand the importance of this election, but I believe there's something even more important, and that's the state of the church, the body of Christ. And let me say that this has not been our finest hour as evangelicals. So much hatred. Let me appeal to those of you who are on Facebook. We cannot love God and hate our Democrat, our Republican brothers and sisters. We can't. Christians, listen, some Republicans think, well, can't be a Democrat and be a Christian. Honey. Some Democrats may think, you can't be a Republican and be a Christian. Christians in both parties have found it a common thing now to demonize the other. It's all over Facebook by people who claim to love God, but there is no love, there is no kindness, there is no reasoning, there is no rationale, there is no intelligence. What it is hatred, bitterness, anger, and arrogance and condescension. We're not going to catch many bees with vinegar. The Bible says, in fact, Jesus said it, the whole world will be convinced you belong to me if you can just get one thing right, and that's love one another. But I don't see much love or kindness on Facebook around this election. And evangelicals need to be called into account, because Christians have become labeled as haters. It's not God. And no matter how moral we think we are, we never have the right to spew hatred, no matter how moral. We must unite around Jesus rather than be divided around a president. What kingdom are we more loyal to? I'm talking about the cross and the flag, and there is room for both in what we would like to think is Christian America. Now, there were some things that Trump did that I did not like so much. I thought his rhetoric was sometimes unnecessarily incendiary. I thought some things he said and the tone of his leadership was that of a bully sometimes, unnecessarily. I didn't think it had to be that way. And a wise member of this church told me 4 years ago when President Trump took office. He said to me, there are two ways I can always pray for our president, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican. Two ways, always. He said, I always pray that our president will have wisdom. And I always pray that our president would be a man of humility. The thing I didn't like so much about President Trump is his constant conspiracy theories. The fact that he would call the media fake news. Now, I would have preferred that he had been just as strong on the First Amendment as he was on the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is you have a right to bear arms, and thank God we do. The First Amendment is we have a right to free press. And there were some times that he would be asked a question. I thought, that's a good question. I think if I were a reporter, I would ask him that question. But instead of answering the question, he simply said, you belong to fake news. You shouldn't even be in here. And the evangelicals never argued with him about anything. And we need to answer for that. And let me tell you about evangelicals. I can talk about them because I am one. The definition of an evangelical is a person who believes in the new birth and will say they are born again. In other words, the evangelicals are the people who call themselves children of God. I do. And I am one. So I can talk about the evangelicals. Let me say this about us. And this is a good thing about President Trump. When he became president, he gave evangelicals unprecedented access to the White House. I thought that was wonderful. Probably more than any president before him, Donald Trump embraced men and women of faith and allowed them to come in the Oval Office and pray for him. You've seen the pictures. Lay hands on him. He formed a faith committee of top leaders in the nation, pastors and other Christian leaders, and would meet with them regularly. Evangelicals were given access to the Oval Office under President Trump, and I'm thankful for that. But evangelicals have dropped the ball with him. We need to learn and do better for the next president. I'm not demonizing Donald Trump. I'm humanizing him. He's just a man. a man in authority. But in July of 2019, at a rally with 30,000 people in attendance in Greenville, North Carolina, President Trump made a speech, and although he had done it on another occasion or two, this is one that you can Google and watch the video. I don't recommend it. But in that rally in Greenville, North Carolina, President Trump publicly said, G.D. And when he did, that arena filled with evangelicals in large part went crazy and applauding and screaming. And evangelicals have dropped the ball. With great access to the president, none of the evangelical leaders had the courage, or at least there's no record that they did, to go up to President Trump and say to him, Mr. President, most respectfully, sir, a minute, please. We are your supporters. We are your base. We love you and we're praying for you, and you are God's man. But, Mr. President, please, you need to know this about us, born again evangelicals, that when you take the name of the Lord in vain, it quenches our spirit just a little. And in fact, Mr. President, respectfully, it's one of the top 10 commandments, and it's one that's most obvious when it's disrespected or broken. Mr. President, on behalf of your supporters who believe in God and believe Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we would ask you to please not take the Lord's name in vain. Now, I know my point is this. He's just a man. All presidents are, maybe one day a woman. No time soon. Not because I'm blasting women. Let's pray for long life for Joe Biden and health. I'm saying if I'm blasting anybody, I'm blasting myself and those of us who are evangelicals that had unprecedented access to the president and were either afraid or whatever reason did not help him because he is just a man. I want to close with this verse of scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. And the next verse, pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Now, if I were to ask for a show of hands, and I won't, I don't need to make this final point. If I were to ask for a show of hands, how many of you prayed for Donald Trump for these past 4 years? I'm sure every hand should go up. And I'm simply saying this. Evangelicals, if you don't pray just as much for Joe Biden when he becomes president, as you did for Donald Trump, there's some hypocrisy there. I agree with Joe Biden. He said in his speech last night, it's time for healing in America. And I like another thing he said. It made sense to me and it was reasonable because he was aware he's speaking to a divided nation. And he said, let's give each other a chance. I'm saying to evangelicals this morning, those of us who know our citizenship is in the kingdom of God, not just in America. Let's not drop the ball this time. Now, Joe Biden says, and I hear, well, we're going to take away the guns. We hear that. And then, oh, he's going to raise my taxes. My paycheck's going to be cut. Evangelicals, let's remind him of his promise that unless you make more than $400,000 a year, your taxes will not. Now, what is what he promised? Evangelicals, let's stay at the table. Let's don't assume that just because a Democrat won, if you are a Republican, that Jesus has fallen off of the throne. Let's hold Joe Biden to his word and let's give him a chance. And I believe it is time for healing in America. I will quote another pastor today who I've never thought more highly of than I do today. Would you stand? Just stand. That'll help me stop. I'm going to quote a pastor who wrote this yesterday. His name is Robert Jeffries. He's the pastor of the great First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, with 14,000 members. And before I read what he said, I need to let you know he was a devoted, loyal Trump supporter. He was one of the leading evangelicals that Trump asked for counsel. And Robert Jeffries, the pastor of Dallas First Baptist, defended Donald Trump at every step. He was a Trump supporter. And yesterday, Robert Jeffries said this: it is always easier to submit to and to pray for someone when he was our preferred candidate. But the rubber really meets the road when the person who takes office is not the one we supported. And then he referred to the scripture I just read where Paul said, pray for all those in authority. And he said, Paul didn't give us any wiggle room on this. His command applies all the same, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican. And then he said this: when Joe Biden becomes president, we should commend him for the things he does right. We should condemn the things he does wrong. And above all, we must pray fervently for our president. Now, this is a staunch Trump supporter. And then he closed with this. He said, if President Biden succeeds, we all succeed. May God bless Joe Biden. And may God bless the United States of America. I appreciated that spirit. I appreciated it. Father, thank you for bringing us through everything we've ever been through. Thank you that those of us here and those of us who know you have a priority when it comes to our loyalty, and that is our citizenship in the kingdom of God, born again, born of the Spirit, children of God, and citizens of your kingdom. And your kingdom is unshakable. We pray for our nation. We pray for President Trump. We realize this man is walking in a hard place right now, and so we call for the grace of God to find this man and overwhelm him with your goodness and with your grace. We pray for Joe Biden, and we will show him the same respect. We will receive him as God's man, and we will pray for him as if he were. We pray blessing on our nation. Thank you that with everything we've been through, so much division as a nation, we can still believe for unity, and we can still call ourselves the United States of America. Thank you for shedding your grace on this nation. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Amen. God bless you, and God bless our great nation. Have a good week.